Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Awaken with Monica and Maria. And today we'll be talking about spiritual stuff, so we all get a break from the news. Yay. So let me say good morning to my excellent guest, Monica Sepulveda. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, Maria. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. I'm all about the break from the news.
Who isn't? These are like my favorite shows, and obviously becoming my listeners' favorite shows, too.
Yeah, well, it keeps us centered, and it keeps us in perspective, and knowing that we have the power to change things one person at a time, that we don't have to be at the mercy of an agenda. Pardon me, I'm sorry about that. We don't have to be at the mercy of an agenda, which is typically to keep us negative and afraid and worried. So, you know what? Fuck that shit.
No.
We can do our own thing, take back our own personal power. And when we do readings, Maria, I think that you and I have the same, you know, we're on the same page here. We're here to help people empower themselves and to have an understanding of where they're going and where they need to make adjustments in order to create their best life.
Absolutely. Listen, that's one thing I pride myself on, is giving people direction based on their own plan for themselves before they came to this world. And, you know, some people do, you follow the directions, some people don't. But that's their choice. I say, look, you always have free will. And I think these are things that we need to discuss. You know, a lot of people don't really know what is a reading, what goes on during a reading, what's the benefit.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, my feeling is that because we've been given a gift, and everybody has this gift. Now, I don't like to use the word psychic because it kind of denotes that we have some kind of power over other people, and it's not. This is a gift, and it's intuition, and we all have it. The key is that most people don't take the time to actually study or exercise it and use it. But, you know, if you expect to have wonderful pets and you don't go to the gym and work out, you're not going to get them. So we have to put our work in. We all have to put our work in and do the, you know, I studied, gosh, since 1965. That's how old I am. And when I was studying, I had a great teacher and I did my homework every day. And this is why you and I have videos that teach people how to do these things. And you know what? Back in the day, we spent thousands of dollars learning how to do and to improve our craft and to improve by having other options
right, for
people to utilize, because I'm a certified neurolinguistic therapist as well, so I know how the neurology works and how the brain stores information. And so what happened is that nowadays, because of YouTube and you know, internet, you know, we're able to teach our classes like on YouTube, and these people can get it for free. But I noticed something very interesting, that a lot of times when people get things for free, this is probably, I'd say, a good 70% of them, they don't really benefit because they didn't invest anything into it.
Right.
The people that pay me to have private lessons are the ones that learn the most, because they know what they're paying per minute. So I always believe in that. You know, you have to have reciprocation.
Absolutely. There has to be, I call it an energy exchange. Listen, I've done reads for people, you know, and in trade, they'll do, you know, get a massage, I'll get my hair done. There has to be some energy exchange, because I agree with you, and I've said it for years. What you give people for free is the value they put on it.
Yeah.
You know, look, today there's a million supposed free alternative media sites out there. And they're all full of crap. None of them know what they're talking about. They didn't do their homework. They're certainly not coming from a spiritual perspective looking at it. But it's free. But to me, you know, when years ago when my producer said, no one's ever going to pay for content, Maria, I said, I disagree. I think that there are people out there that are willing to pay for content, for good content. And a couple of years in, he actually apologized to me and said that he was wrong. He just didn't think that it could be done. Not that I'm rolling in dough from subscribers, but I think that that separates the real from the BS.
You know what, Maria? You're right. And one of the things I like about your show is because you add the spiritual content to it and the understanding. Now, this is what I've never been able to figure out. Why in the world would be focused so much on this planet and this earth when we are a spirit with a body, with a mind, with emotions, yet we focus on the last three and ignore the first one, which is our true essence. When we connect with that, this is when our intuition kicks in. This is when our ability to use telepathy, to use clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience. And why not discover that? I mean, I don't want to settle for using 15% of my brain, so I stretch it out and use the other parts of it. Why not? Why get? It's like time to get unstuck, folks. You know, it's time to, for us to start using the other part of us that is the real part of us, because that's the one that continues to live forever. And so if we go back to that, we find all the answers that we need, but then we get trapped in low vibratorial frequencies such as fear, worry, self-doubt, undeservability, all those things that we tell ourselves about ourselves. I just tell them, hey, you're bullshit. Get out of here. You don't define me. And even my past and my upbringing, which was not easy, that doesn't define me. I define me, and I always go back to the truth, and I always invite people to go back to the truth of who they are. When you do this, we can be put out of business, which would be fine with me. If you don't need me because you know exactly what to do now for yourself, amen, I did my job.
Exactly. Well, doing your job is one of the questions that I have, and I think a lot of people out there think the same way. They want to know what their mission is here. And I have a lot to say on that, but I'm just going to throw this question out. This is from one of my listeners. Her name is Janet. And she said, what areas of life am I to be a catalyst for?
Here's the answer. You never find the answer to a question like that that is so profound by thinking the answer. You have to feel it. And you can start off by doing simple things like what Walt Disney said back in the day, do what you love to do the most. If you like shopping, find a way to turn that into a business to help people. If you like walking dogs, then find a way to start a business to make that happen. You have to find the need and fill it. My own mentor told me this in 1972 in his Learjet. He mentored me a lot, and he said, you find a need and fill it, and you can turn that into a successful business. And I thought, I really like that statement. And so the key here is that you don't make those decisions intellectually or using the left brain. You wait until you feel the answer by asking yourself, what do I love to do with my time every single day that brings me so much joy that I could do it and it doesn't even feel like work? And you know what? When you ask that question, you get answers because the universe is always listening. Mm-hmm. It is basically our genie. Whatever you ask, you receive. But then most people are too busy worrying about stuff that they miss the answer. So that means that we have to stay really, really clear. So the answer to that question is you have to feel the answer based on what you have passion for.
Right.
Period.
Right. Well, you know, one of the other things that I find, because I work with a lot of young people, actually my youngest student right now is actually just turning 18. But I think about him, I think about another young man I spoke with about a week ago, he's about 40, and they're all hell-bent determined on knowing what their mission is here and how to fix and save the world. And as a teacher, it's hard for me, but I tell the truth all the time. To one man, I had told him, first of all, none of us can save the planet. The planet doesn't need us to save her, okay? She survived way more than humans, you know. She'll survive us. But I also remember, and, you know, I do a lot of my teaching through storytelling, that I felt the same way when I was 40. I thought that I literally could save the world. I mean, I was such a psychotic environmentalist, which is how I got into radio to start with. And then I grew up and I realized that we're not here to save the planet. Okay. That's very egotistical. And to think that, you know, Mother Earth is that weak that she can't survive us.
Exactly.
When she's, you know, survived meteor storms, dinosaurs, you name it. But even with this young man, I said to him, first of all, you're in what I call the R&D phase of your life, research and development. Okay, you don't even know who you are. You don't know your sexuality yet. You don't know where you will fit in, what you want to teach. It takes time and years. I mean, I've put decades into everything that I know, and I'm constantly learning. And I think if people can just back off and think that, you know, and relax and realize that there are no shoulds here. You know, Sun Bear said humans have to stop shoulding all over themselves. And I love that remark. And so I come back to agree with you. You know, it reminds me when my son, you know, he's lived with me his whole life, the poor kid. And he's seen me do all kinds of crazy things that put my life in jeopardy. You know, one was an Earth Day event where I stood in front of 25,000 people and he was afraid somebody might shoot me. And then, of course, we graduated into my radio show. And he's like, why does it always have to be you? That's what my son said to me. And I said to him, first of all, I can read, I can write, and I can speak. Who better to do this than me?
Oh, yeah. And with your birthday, a double three, are you kidding me? You're right in the right element. I mean, three is the number of communication.
Right. Duh. So I mean, I do it because I must for me. And I say that on the show. I'm sure you've heard me say it, Monica. I do what I do for me. If it benefits someone else, that's great. But this is for me, for my soul, for my next journey.
Yeah.
So to me, this entire life is research and development.
It is, because, and my mom put it best when I was 12 years old. She said, the more you know that you don't know.
Exactly.
You know? And a lot of people claim to be spiritual, but, you know, it's all talk and they don't execute it and they don't live it. So when they're shocked when I tell them, you know, you're not spiritual. What do you mean I'm spiritual? I believe in this. I study this. I said, it has nothing to do with what you learn and what's in your head. It has to do with the way you live your life. You can talk all you want, but, you know, who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying, Donald Trump.
Right, exactly. And but this isn't to say that if somebody, you know, calls me and I'm in a session with someone, I can certainly see what they intended to accomplish on a soul level while they're here. I can tell them where they're at on that path. I could tell them how to achieve it quicker. But I always tell them I can't do the homework for you.
It can't wave a magic wand and make it happen. You got to do your part. By the way, Maria, thank you for a wonderful reading last week. I took my notes and stuff. Everything is right on target. You're very, very good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for yours, too. Just so everybody knows, I don't put anybody on my show that isn't good. Okay. Never have, never will. And even Joe Anthony, the astrologer, you know, Joe and I did a trade at the beginning of the year, and his work was in tandem with yours. So I always tell people, you remember that movie, City Slickers, where Curly keeps saying there's only one truth?
Yes.
There's only one truth thing.
That's an old movie.
Right, but there is only one true thing. Now, you can get an astrologer, you can get someone who works the way you do, someone the way I work, and we're all going to come up with the same thing because we're tapping into the same source.
Exactly, and they all are very compatible with each other. I'm a numerologist as well, and I do astrology in there. They're both exact. I mean, they're just, they don't contradict each other. And now that I graduated to more telepathic, I do telepathic readings, and because I find that listening and hearing the information is much faster than having to use things, you know, like astrology or numerology or whatever. But I invited people today to send in their birthday because I can just give them the theme of the year for them.
Okay.
You know, and let them know what this year is all about, what to focus on, what to avoid, and that kind of thing. So that's a good way to get a quick reading on radio.
Absolutely. Well, I have a couple more, and then we can talk more about what we are talking about. This was from Kim. Her birthday is September 29th, 1957.
And you say her name was Kim, K-I-M?
Yeah. And she said, I'd like to know if I'll be moving to a new home soon and if my finances will be better in 2018.
Okay, so we're looking at, all right, so as far as her, she's going to work her butt off this year is what I can see. And what I'm getting is that she will not be moving until the latter part of the year. So it's going to be after her birthday, I'm going to say October. But she's going to be planning really hard during the summer months to make this happen? And so the answer to that question would be yes, but not now. And as I see her, I wanted to give her a message I just heard in my head to start preparing now. Get rid of everything that you don't want. You know, if you plan with plenty of time, it doesn't become stressful, because moving is one of those things that are very stressful. So I feel that, that these changes come about. They continue all through 2019, including what I see happening is a new opportunity, an offer made to her for a different position in work. So this could be actually either some type of a promotion or actually from a different source. But I'm not getting it from an outside source. I keep feeling it's internal. So this is a woman that I feel that is compassionate. Her past life shows that she's been in medical before and that she cares about people. I think right now the most important thing is for her just to focus on herself. I think she's also going to feel like she's back in the driver's seat, because last year was an emotional roller coaster for her. And so I feel like she's going to be glad to be out of that. But if she stays really centered and calm, she'll be able to listen to those fine frequencies called intuition, and she'll be able to get validation constantly. But if you stay busy by, let's say, getting rid of old things that you don't want, you know, it's kind of like time to take the trip to Goodwill and donate the things you don't want.
Right.
As long as, even with a drawer, when you clean a drawer that's called the junk drawer, you just take the whole thing and throw it on the floor, put on a good DVD, get a bag that says toss, donate, and keep. So what you keep goes back in the drawer, what you donate goes in one bag, and what you throw away goes in another. So you're actually getting ready to move, but you're actually cleaning your house by doing it in little steps and little projects. And so I always say, start with the kitchen, then go to the bedroom, and then go to your closet, and then you've got like 70% of it done.
Right. Well, you got to clear out the old to make way for the new. And everybody knows that expression, the universe abhors a vacuum. But yeah. I'd say fill it before the universe fills it for you.
Yeah.
Because what I find is sometimes people wait too long to make a decision. And then the source, the force, the universe, whatever you want to call it, will force you into that decision.
Yeah.
And I always tell my clients, I say, you better make this move before the universe makes it for you, because they don't have any care or concern about our physical body, our finances, or anything like that. They're going to push you towards what you came here to do.
That's right. And a lot of people end up getting fired for that same reason. They don't take the initiative to change their job, so the universe takes care of it for them to keep us on track. Just like our bodies give us signals when we've got too many toxins within them and too many low frequencies, and they get sick. So getting sick, though, is the body trying to heal itself. You know, my feeling is when you have, you take initiative. Let's say you don't know where you're going to move, but you want to move. It goes back to a book I read I didn't read it in 1926, but it was written in 1926. But I got a hold of that book in the 60s. It's called The Game of Life and How to Play It by Florence Scovel Shinn. And she's written four books, written in the 20s and the 40s. And so I have the whole compilation. It's now called The Wisdom of Florence Scovel Shinn. And it's fantastic. It was one of the first books I read that introduced me to metaphysics. And she said that people used to write to her and saying, I want to move, but I don't know where I'm going to go. And her answer was, start packing.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare. Start. Begin.
Right.
Don't just sit there. You
right.
know, if you start and prepare, then the way to that is going to be revealed.
Right.
So
well,
people get themselves stuck. The key is get unstuck and start getting rid of crap.
Right. Well, you know, that reminds me of an old joke, and I'm going to say it because it fits in exactly with what you just said. This man dies and he goes up to heaven, and he finally gets in and he wants to have this conversation with God. And he says to God, he says, you know what? I was a good man my whole life. Why didn't you ever let me win the lottery? And then he'll ask again. He says, I was a good Christian. I helped people out. You still never let me win the lottery. I could have done so much with that money. And he just kept going that way. And finally, God said to him, you could have met me halfway and bought a ticket.
Oh, well, there's a old saying, God helps those who help themselves, you know? And I mean, some of these teachings are really right on. I'm not for religion at all. I don't believe there's heaven and hell. I believe we create that here. But you know what? There's a lot of true stories. And the book is actually, when you look at the Bible, it's anecdotes and it's symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are my favorites. But there's a lot of truth in there, and that story is like on point.
Right. Well, I want to get back to Kim because I want to tell her what I picked up here. I do agree she doesn't know where she wants to move, which is a problem. I do see her taking at least two or three trips that should be research and development in different places. Because it seems like, you know, what I'm seeing here is she's kind of at a cross between, do I want to live by the water or do I want to live in the desert? On the other hand, I also see a very sexy year here. And that's all I'll say on the air because some things are personal and private. So she looks like she has a very sexy year, but I don't see the move before 10 or 12 months.
That's correct. It'll be after her birthday, and her birthday's in September.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the 9th month, and I predicted October, which is the 10th month.
Yeah, and I do see an uptick in her money, so she might get a promotion or some kind of an award for her work.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of busyness going on here, and sometimes you've got to deal with the busyness at hand before you decide to, you know, start over somewhere else. But
yeah,
it looks,
you know,
it all looks good.
We're on the same page, Maria, with her.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling is, though, but I do see a lot of work, and that could be a distraction, a source of distraction where she can get herself into what I call the daily drill, get up, go to work, come home, go to bed, you know?
Right.
And it is the daily drill sometimes can keep us stuck, but I feel that she's going to be happy enough with what's happening, and I think that all of a sudden she'll start getting, you know, because once we broadcast to the universe, it starts to broadcast back to us.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we don't get the information in our head. Sometimes you could be watching TV and there it is. That's what I want to do. That feels right. In other words, it gives us the information in whatever medium it needs to. It can come externally, not necessarily internally. So I always tell people to use symbols. For instance, if you're applying for a job, you can say to yourself, if I see a pink car today, and I pick a pink car because that's my symbol. It's rare. You don't see it very often.
Mm-hmm.
If I see a pink car tonight by 9 o'clock, that means that the answer is yes, take the job. If I don't see the pink car, then I know that that job is not right for me. Start utilizing your mind to bring you symbols and the universe to give you the symbols that you're asking for, and then you'll have your answers. So I'm a big believer in using symbols. But don't pick two. Like, if this is the right job, I want to see this. If it's not the right job, I want to see that. Start simple. And because I've told the story so many times about the pink cars, because I do see them, the first time it happened in 1980, I saw a Mary Kay car. I thought, hey, that counts, you know?
Right.
And it doesn't have to be on the freeway. It could be on TV. I even heard one time I was driving, and I heard the song Pink Cadillac, and I thought, oh, okay, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the TV guide, and I saw Pink Cadillac with Clint Eastwood. I go, there we go. It doesn't have to literally be the car in front of you. It'll come to you in different ways, but it always does. And that's called taking control of your mind and brain so that it starts working for us.
Right. Well, listen,
it works every time.
There's signs around us all the time. Some people are in tune with them or attuned to them, and some people just ignore them. You know?
It's a shame. It's a shame to do that because our world is constantly speaking back to us where we need to make changes and where we need to make a shift, and also showing us if something is going to come about. I mean, it is a wonderful, wonderful giving organism that always reflects back what we need to do. And people don't pay attention. It's like they rather blame. Mm. And I tell people, you don't get what you want. You get what you are. And if you look at it from that point of view, then you know that you have to take responsibility for making your own decisions. And if it doesn't come out the way you want to, just make a freaking new one.
Right.
Don't take it personally as if you're a failure.
Exactly. Well, you know, reminds me of that country song by Garth Brooks, Unanswered Prayers. You know, sometimes what you're asking for is not in your best interest, and that's why it's not going to happen no matter what you do.
Yeah, bingo. I call that divine order when something doesn't work out. I'll just say, okay, it's in divine order. I'm letting it go, putting it in your quote-unquote hands to manifest for me. So I pray every morning because I believe prayer and meditation really get us centered. And it starts our day and sets a good tone for the day. It's like when I was taught this by my mentor, he said, you have to get centered because what will happen, he goes, to not do that would be as irresponsible as calling Sears and saying, hey, here's my credit card number, send me anything. He says, you never do that. So why would you do that to this place called Earth, who's constantly giving answers and manifesting the things that we want? So you have to be specific about what it is that you want. Most people don't know. They just want, you know, things that...
You ask any millennial, you know, there have been a lot of polls out. You know, when they ask millennials, what do you want to be when you grow up? They say famous. But when you ask them famous for what, they don't have an answer.
You're right. They don't.
So if you don't know what you want, how do you expect the spirit world to know when they're not even here on the planet and can't even relate to life on this planet?
That reminds me of Wayne Dyer. One time I went to see him before he died. And he said, if you really want a Mercedes, visualize a Mercedes, but you better visualize yourself driving it or your next door neighbor may get it.
That's a good one. Well, you know what? It reminds me of a story Sun Bear told one day, and I never forgot it. I think I pretty much probably memorized every word that ever came out of his mouth. He had this student in his class, and she came to class all excited. She says, I want you to know, Sun Bear, I put it out there that I wanted a brand new Chevy. I kept putting it out there, and now I have a brand new Chevy. And Sun Bear looked at her, and he said, well, that's too bad. He said, because maybe the universe was getting ready to bring you a limo and a driver, and you just asked for a Chevy. So I always tell my clients, I'm putting it out in the airways.
I am now looking for my mate. I'm now ready for the first time in my life. I'm looking for my mate. So anybody up there, out there listening, get the word out. Monica's looking.
Well, there you go. I'll rekey that for you, too. Monica, we're going to take a short break because we have some more questions from our listeners. Okay. So I want to make sure we have a good chunk of time to get through it. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Spiritual Professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother, and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground, out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at meria.net. Now back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to Awaken with Monica and Maria. And we're having some weird stuff happening on the phones now. I lost the phone twice with some weird extraterrestrial noise, and bam, we were gone. But we're back now. Who the hell knows what's going on?
They probably got insulted by what I said and maybe what you said, and they probably said, okay, take this.
Yeah, okay. We'll add them
to
the...
Okay, loud and clear. We're okay now.
We're A-okay. All right, so I have this from Douglas.
Okay.
We recently returned to Ohio and bought a home. And he and his wife are obviously going through more stuff in the house than they expected to have to do. He said they've concluded the home was neglected, possibly abused. And the work that was done on it was done by careless or poorly skilled people. And it looks like it's, you know, to epitomize, like it's the money pit. The projects are taking longer. They're costing more money. And they didn't anticipate that. And they have limited finances. and he doesn't know how best to proceed since it's becoming overwhelming. He says, we bought it, so we want to stay, repair, and love it. And he said, I think this house is a masculine energy, but I can't say with that with any certainty. So what do you get on that?
Well, I'm wondering if they bought it during a Mercury retrograde, because when we do that, and, you know, keep track of Mercury retrograde in 2018, and it'll guide you as to when not to sign agreements or any kind of contracts, because that can cause everything to fall apart. And when you get a message such as, or a hunch, you know, we shouldn't do this, but yet we still get stubborn and we decide we want to do it anyway, that's when we run into trouble. So pay attention to your intuition, Douglas, and because you have it. And my feeling here is that with respect to this house, I still feel him very stubborn and wanting to just get it done. And so if you can go through this process putting one foot in front of the other and not let it get the best of you, otherwise it can drive you crazy, then you'll be okay, because it is considered a challenge, but a challenge doesn't have to get the best of us. The key is, now that you've decided to stay there, because I don't see a move for them, what I see is that he's going to be stubborn and he's going to want to fix this. So it's going to be a process that takes like a year from inception, and then it'll be okay after that. The funny thing is that after about 2 years, I feel that they're going to sell it and get a different one.
Hmm. Do you feel that this house was abused, or that there might actually be some kind of leftover negative energy there?
Oh, definitely, yes. There's definite negative energy that's there. It was neglected, not abused. And my feeling is that I don't know why the appraiser didn't, you know, see these things in advance. But maybe it wasn't appraised, and that's a lesson for everyone, to make sure that you always get an appraiser to find out what's wrong with the home. I feel problems also. You know, I always tell people with numerology, if the address totals to a 15-6 or a 16-7, it's going to be a problem. 15-6s tend to have fire. 16-7s have leaks or water problems and floods. And it's accurate. It happens all the time. But if it's a 25-7, that's not the case. If it's a, you know, a 24-6, then that's not the case. It's got to be a 14-5 or a 16-7. And so I'm just wondering what that address would be, because that would be kind of nice to have known.
Oh, that I don't have. But I do see that, you know, that there is going to be more money put into it. But I think that he's getting too emotionally involved in it.
You can't do that. Once you are faced with this challenge, you got to get the emotions out of the way, the irritation out of the way, because you really want that house. So if you make the decision, let's keep this house and let's work on it, and I see him stubborn, that he's going to, you know, learn how to handle it better. It's not what happens to us, Saria. It's what happens for us. It's to see where we are with respect to our own spirituality, because if we react to something, then we're disempowering ourselves. When we know that it's happening for us, if that builds character, it makes us stronger, and it truly causes us to evolve more on a spiritual level by having faith and trust. So my sense is that he's going to stay with it, but he's got to learn the lessons, because if the lessons, there's never a loss unless you lose a lesson. If you lose a lesson, then what's the point?
Right. Well, to me, it looks like he's got about 9 to 11 months before it's done the way he wants it to be.
And I said a year from inception, so I think we're kind of right on.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, yeah. One of the things I'd like to remind my audience is when you get a new car, you get a new house, you move into a new apartment, you have to do a sacred clearing of the space, mm-hmm. whatever that is to you. For me, I like to use sage sticks, smudge.
Yes, me too.
And for people out there that have their Reiki, you can use the symbol to get rid of negativity throughout mm-hmm. the house. I like to amp it up and actually draw the symbols with the sage stick in each room. And I would start with the one for, you know, releasing negativity and mm-hmm. then amp it up the way I want. And then if it's a house, of course, being an Italian, the first thing I do is I make my own sauce and let that smell fill the whole house and make it my own.
I love it. And, you know, I can tell you right now, sage works every single time, but I love the sauce thing.
Right. Cook your favorite
like
food.
Sauce,
oh,
what
yeah.
What are you using it? I mean, educate me here. What are you using to make your sauce?
I make a regular, you know, marinara tomato sauce.
Oh, okay.
Like a big vat of it, which I can always jar since I live alone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I play my Italian music, you know, while I'm doing that. You know, I welcome in my family members that are on the other side. I welcome in my guides, you know, and I put a protection. Listen, I put a protection around myself at least twice a day and around my house every night when I go to bed.
I do too. But I do mine in the morning. I know you do yours at night, but I do mine in the morning. Because I want to start the tone of the day. I want to set the tone of the day.
Yeah, and I might be the only person in the world, but when I come downstairs into my house in the morning, I say good morning to the house.
Yeah.
And when I go up to bed, I turn and I look and I say, take care of yourselves while I'm sleeping and everything should stay humming and keep working. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. We do almost identical things.
Oh, so I'm not the only lunatic.
I even talk to my car, too.
I do, too.
I gave her a name. Her name is Miss Emerald. And I said, I love you and you love me back. I take care of you. You take care of me. You know, and I know this stuff might sound kind of strange to people, but you know what? This stuff works.
It's not strange because everything has a consciousness. Everything is alive. And if you believe everything has
that.
A consciousness.
Everything vibrates. So it's, even if it's inanimate,
exactly.
You look under high-powered, you know, lenses, and you'll see that atoms, neutrons, electrons, they're all moving. So it is actually alive.
Absolutely.
So, you know, talk to it.
Well, listen, I believe that your house, your car, your computer, it all becomes part of you.
You bet.
And, you know, it was funny. I went downtown with a friend this past weekend, and we took his car. And as soon as we started driving, I started drawing the Reiki symbols. And he turned and he looked at me. He says, what are you doing? And I says, I'm putting Reiki around your car so we don't have any problems. And he was A-okay with it.
Yep.
You know, the one time I forgot to put that around my car was about 25 years ago. It was the only time in my life, Monica, I ever got a ticket. And it was a photo ticket.
And, you know, another thing, too, that I learned is if you surround your car, not only in the white light of protection, the pink light of love, but also in the purple light, you become invisible to cops. And that works every single time. My mother always said, always surround your car. Say this. She said, say this affirmation. I protect and ask that light be surrounding the cars in front of me, behind me, to my right, and to my left, in a white light of protection, a pink light of love, as well as my own. And then she said, but you also have to go up and to protect the plane, because what if they land
right
in front of you? And guess what happened to her? She was in San Jose, Silicon Valley, on Highway 101, and a plane came in an emergency landing. It landed right in front of her.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, look, I will have to say your little tricks are tricks that I've been using for years, too. And when I tell people I make my car invisible, they look at me like I'm crazy.
But you can with the purple light.
But I remember one day just zipping down the highway, and I generally know where the cops are. And I had put around my car, you know, my Reiki. I'd make a medicine wheel around my car. I put my thoughts out there, protect me from bad drivers, breakdowns, negativity in, out, outside of bodies. I mean, I try to make it all inclusive. And then I'll throw in, make my car invisible to cops unless I need them. And sure enough, I must have been doing like 10 over the speed limit, maybe a little more, but I won't admit it here. And I whizzed right by this cop that was on the side of the road. And I knew he didn't see me. And I went right by him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. And like I said, the one time I forgot, I got one of those photo tickets for like doing 45 and a 35 in the middle of a dust storm. It managed to snap my car. And I remember some guy, when they first started sending you those photo tickets in the mail,
uh-huh.
He sent them a photo of a check to pay for it.
Huh.
Which I thought was very clever, of course. I'm sure the Department of Motor Vehicles didn't find it funny. But it wasn't even, to him, it wasn't even like a real ticket. So he said, well, I'll just send you a picture too.
Yeah.
But it's important to take, you know, to take these things into consideration, because I'm sure you felt it. You can walk into a movie theater, a party, somebody's house, and right away you feel uncomfortable.
Oh, definitely. I become more of a hermit because of that.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't want to walk into anybody else's bad energy without putting some protection around myself. And even...
You know, people have the same feeling when they go to an antique store. They find a piece of furniture that might look really good, and all of a sudden they go, ooh, God, this gives me a bad vibe. Well, it's probably owned by somebody before who used to fight a lot. You know, because, I mean, our energy paints itself to the walls, to the curtains, to our furniture.
Of course.
That's why I always say sage at least every 6 months minimum.
But if you're going to buy those types of things, use things, you know, new things even, you know, it depends on what crystal store you buy your crystals from, whether those crystals are going to be good or bad, depending on how they were taken from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
People always have to be cautious and clear those items before you bring them into your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, years ago I did a show on chemical poisoning with this woman who had a fabulous book. I don't remember the name of it. But I remember one thing she said, which most people never think about. She said, when you take your clothes in from a dry cleaner, you need to hang them in your garage for about 2 days just so all those poisons and chemicals dissipate before you bring that in your house.
A good point. I really like that.
Right.
And with crystals, too, because I studied feng shui from one of the best women in China. And I met her. She was on Oprah, and I contacted her, and we did a trade. And I feng shui'd my whole house, and wow, did it change the energy. Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
So that's another thing to study, too, on your own.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to tell, this popped in my head like 15 minutes ago, but I wanted to say it anyway because I wrote it down. Ladies, do not put your purses on the floor.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, the most negative energy is on the floor. Get one of those little things that hangs your purse. Buy it and then hang it by the table if you're going out to dinner. Don't put it on your chair because anybody can just grab it and take it, you know. And another thing I learned about purses, too, that works really well, this is genius. It actually came to me in a dream. People were talking about during the holidays how their purses were being snatched out of their shopping baskets when they were going grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. Well, those shopping baskets have a place for children to sit, and they have a little seat belt. So you put that little seat belt around your purse, and if anyone tries to take it, they can't because it's already,
see,
it's, you know, it's got the seatbelt on it and it's clipped.
Right.
So that's another good thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whenever I go anywhere, my bag is never on the floor. And sometimes people ask me, you know, because most women will just throw them on the floor. And I'm like, man, that's where a lot of negative energy accumulates. Okay. And I'm not doing that.
And floors are sticky.
You know, it's funny, though. Many years ago when I was working in an insurance office. It was just really me and my boss. I worked for him for 13 years, and I used a shoulder bag. And I was going to go on vacation, and my boss knew how protective I was and frugal when it came to money. And I said to him, do you think that I should get traveler's checks to go on this trip? And it was the funniest response ever, Monica. He said to me, knowing you, they would have to rip your arm off to get that bag. So I would say no.
That's funny. That's really funny. You know, I hope you don't mind us sharing these anecdotes because I think that they help people that listen. You
absolutely.
Know? And when I go to Europe, I actually found a way. I always take a great big bag so I can put more things in it. But, you know, they always have that little zipper in the inside where you can put, like, your pouch or cell phones or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Each purse has, two pouches on one side and one that's got a zipper on the inside. So the one that has a zipper on the inside, what I did is, because I was going to three countries, I had to have three different kinds of currency. I had to have a zloty for Poland, I had to have euros for Germany, and I had to have the sterling British pound for England. So what I do is I take my cash and I wrap it in aluminum foil because you cannot scan it. When you have aluminum foil, and remember, if you're going to send cash via the mail, you also wrap it in aluminum foil because it can't be scanned. So what I did is I cut a hole in that area of the purse on the inside that's got the zipper, and underneath there's a lining. So what I did is I put all this money into that hole, and I zipped it up, and it ended up at the bottom of my purse. It was never scanned.
Good. Hey, for me, it's like a fanny pack under my clothes. All right, let's get to, we have another, it's a little bit long, so I'm going to try to epitomize it for you. And this is from Jenny, and she's talking about a dream she had, and obviously it was an important dream because she remembered it in good detail.
Okay.
She said, I had this dream, and was it happening in another dimension or world? Was my brain visualizing this? And she said it felt like perpetrators of the dream, where there were crimes against women happening, were aliens. And when she woke up, she felt like something was off. Now, I could read you some of the dream because she has a lot of detail in it.
Okay.
She says she was walking down a street in Northern Virginia. The streets were blocked off for vendors like a farmer's market. She was lost and she was trying to find her way. And then she saw a very skinny, tall, lanky woman, very thin. And she's resisting and not wanting to do something. And a fat man who looked like her owner. She said he had a nose like a potato and a very strange looking mouth with a puffy mouth but thin lips. She said she didn't feel like he was human even though he looked human. And he was forcing her to do something and then he started, you know, manhandling her. And then he put her head on top of a toaster looking box on a table and pressed her face into it. And she came out bruised. She said she tried to panic and yell at him. But there was nothing she could do because it's almost like she was a dreamer outside the dream. She wasn't a threat to them.
So this wasn't happening to her. It was happening to the other woman.
Right, okay. Right. And she said the crowd looked like they were humans, but none of them were intervening in what was happening there. Mm-hmm. And she was yelling at them to stop, but she couldn't really do anything. She felt helpless.
Okay. So what this is telling me is that, Jenny, is that, first of all, every part of the dream represents a part of us. Anytime it has to do with the head or the face, that deals with self-esteem. And if it's being abused or hurt in any way, you have to start looking at your internal dialogue to find out what you've been saying to yourself about yourself. Has it been criticism? Has it been judgmental? Has it been less than loving and caring? The dream is telling you what's going on and how it's affecting your life. When you're yelling for help, actually the help is within you. It's not on the outside. So the key here is to love yourself more is what I'm receiving, because I think you can be very stubborn as well. And I think that when you start being more compassionate and loving towards yourself, treat yourself the way you treat other people, I think that's going to turn things around. Nightmares are actually very, very positive because it's trying to point out something that needs to be shifted now. And so I always tell people, welcome the nightmares because they're the ones that are trying to give you the most important lessons. Mm-hmm. The regular dreams, a lot of people don't remember because they say, oh, I never remember their dreams. And that's because they're busy during the daytime that they don't take breaks. And therefore the brain, once it goes to sleep, it crashes. It doesn't give you the information.
All right.
You want to take breaks every day, every 2 hours, because that'll allow you to have wonderful dreams. But if you're not paying attention to the message of the dream because you don't know how to interpret it, you're going to get a nightmare. So to me, this is a nightmare. This was nothing to do with extraterrestrial beings. It had to do with a distorted, what I call an enemy, someone that's doing something terrible to somebody else. But yet in the dream, I believe that Jenny is doing this to herself in her waking state, that she's not being loving enough.
Well, it's interesting because she also says that she's been having dreams more often in the past 3 weeks where she's always lost, don't know where to I parked my car, and I keep looking for it.
Okay, and that part means that, you know, because the car represents herself, so she's probably needing some answers right now. I'm getting that she needs to set some new goals, and the goals don't have to be large goals. They can be smart goals, small goals, but she also needs to have a little bit more fun in her life. I feel the element of fun not being there. It's too redundant right now. And I feel that when we do things that are more fun, laughing, socializing, singing, music, anything like that is going to raise the vibratorial frequency and it'll help her. So she needs to do a shift this year. This is nothing that's going to hurt her. It's just trying to tell her, hey, be good to yourself, because it highlighted the head.
Right, and time for a change, especially when you get repeat dreams or the message is repeated over and over. Those
over
are
and
usually,
over.
You know, life-changing dreams that you need to pay attention to.
And so during her waking state, now she needs to say, I'm not lost. I'm open and receptive to receiving guidance, information, and ideas, and I give thanks for that today. That's all she has to do. And I also love myself. I have a picture of myself when I'm 5 years old, and I talk to her because it's me. And I tell her how beautiful she is and how brilliant she is, especially after my upbringing. And I tell her that I'm going to make sure she has a wonderful day. And I have that picture framed in my bedroom. So that's a good idea. That's a tool that works very, very well. And she should probably start with that.
Right. Well, you know, I think that most of the time, a lot of us put the pressure on ourselves. It's not pressure from somebody else. It's usually we pressure ourselves more than other people will.
Absolutely. That in all the, I started doing readings, this will be my 46th year. I started at age 21 doing it professionally, but I was actually doing them by the time I was 16 back in 1967. What happened is that I noticed one thing. The final challenge in all the things that we've done to evolve and to learn and grow is love of self. That's still an issue. People are still hard on themselves. They take things personally. They come up to the wrong conclusions about themselves. And, you know, instead of doing that, just say, okay, I made the wrong decision, but that doesn't mean that I'm a mistake.
Right.
You know, so right. I think self-love is the final frontier. And when we do that, guess what? This planet changes automatically.
Absolutely.
It changes when every person takes care of loving themselves and then sending that love from their heart. That changes the vibratory frequency of this planet because there's 7 billion of us versus 144 people that are setting an agenda, keeping it, trying to keep us in fear and in worry and in doubt. So, like, fuck them. I'm going to take care of my personal power, and I'm going to be the best I can be, and I'm just going to get to a place of being centered. And then I'm going to, those people I just said, fuck you to, I'll send them some love, too, because they need it.
Right. Well, you know, years ago, I remember when I was teaching in Tuscany, and Louise Hayes was on that trip, too.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she taught a very simple, but I thought very powerful, and I told her, I'm stealing that, technique for people to love themselves. And it was as simple as just looking in the mirror every day and saying, I love you, out loud to yourself.
I love that.
And, you know, I had a gal who was very abused. She had very terrible relationships. And it was very hard for her to do that simple exercise.
Right.
So I said to her, well, what I want you to do is I want you to go out and buy yourself a red rose every day. Buy it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in about 2 weeks' time, she was buying them by the dozen for herself.
Oh, that's great.
And you know, but what? It is very hard to just say, I love you. And I think that the new age bullshit of unconditional love screwed things up because people are looking for that outside themselves instead of inside themselves.
Well, I really do love your process. And the one that I use and I tell people to use it is if you have a hard time looking in the mirror and telling yourself that because you don't love you, you don't believe it, then get a picture of yourself when you were 5 years or younger, because that's the little child within you that needs nurturing and you need to reparent yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So get that picture out and ask her a question. Did you come into this world and reincarnate to have this kind of life? And listen to what it says, or she says, or he says, and it'll say no. And just say, what's going on? And the little person in that picture will say, why are you so mean to me? Why do you criticize me every day? Why do you do this? It's like, and then you have to owe them an apology and really mean it and tell them from now on, I'm going to make sure that you have the best life possible because you deserve it. Look at your eyes, how brilliant they are. Look at how that smile on your face. You can't wait to live this world. And I'm going to make sure that you have that. So I found that that particular technique helps the people that cannot look in the mirror and believe that they love themselves. That particular process is the one that I needed to use because I look in the mirror and I say these things to myself and I say, well, that's bullshit. That's not even true. So I had to go way back only because I grew up as an abused child.
Right.
And
well, you know, John Bradshaw's work on rescuing the inner child is the absolute best. I was very fortunate to get to see him live.
Oh, wow.
And I will tell you this. All I saw was a giant ball of light walking across that stage the whole time.
Wow.
And I remember I was married at the time, and my husband said, oh, you want to be up there with him, don't you? And I said, hell no, I want to be him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a guy that walked the talk.
Oh, my gosh. And if anyone has never heard of him, buy the book called The Family and get the other one called The Child Within.
How about Family Secrets? How about Family Secrets? I bought that book years ago, and I said, well, I don't have any family secrets, but I'm going to read this so I know to give, you know, information to my clients. Well, I think I put that book down every three pages and called on my extended family to dig into my memories that I didn't have because I realized how many family secrets I grew up with.
Interesting. Well, for every new parent, get his book called The Child Within because it teaches you how to how your child goes through each month, and if it's getting negative feedback, how it affects its self-esteem, which is formed in the second year, by the second year that child has their self-esteem or not. And it goes month by month until 5 years old, and you're able to raise your child seeing what it needs emotionally.
Right.
Not just feeding it, changing diapers, but what it needs emotionally. So it's called The Child Within by John Bradshaw. It's really, really good, and every new parent should own a copy.
Absolutely. And you'll get no argument out of me. But I do want to give you a little gift, Monica. I don't know if you still need it or not, because I love you, but I can't make you love you. Years ago, I was very fortunate to meet Dr. Serge Kahili King. He is the number one kahuna in Hawaii. And I got to meet him. I got to have dinner with him. I got to sit through a couple of his seminars. And I had him on my show. I still have his shows in the archives. Dr. Serge Kahili King. And he taught a huna practice for self-forgiveness, to help you on that road to where you can say, I love you, to yourself. And he calls it, you know, the Hawaiians call it blanket forgiveness. And he said, all you need do is look in the mirror and say out loud, I forgive you for every stupid thing you've ever done. He said, don't get stuck on issues, people, places, things. Just say that and run away. Don't think about anything else. Just forgive yourself. So I kind of now have like a three-part thing that I'm happy to share with my audience that I probably give to most of my students and clients. First, the blanket forgiveness. Then Louise's I Love You. And then another one, I don't even know where I picked it up. I add it all together and say, what can I do to make you happy today?
I love that question. That's a great question. I'm going to steal that one from you.
Yeah, I mean, most people, you know, you're spending all day, you know, trying to figure out how to make everybody else happy. But it really is important to make sure you're making yourself happy every day.
Oh, yeah. At this day and age, because self-love has been the most difficult challenge since I started my readings back like 40 years ago. Almost 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I found that self-love has been the most challenging one. So I think that is a great question. Like I said, I'm going to steal it from you.
Good,
because
enjoy
actually,
it.
This information doesn't belong to any of us.
No, it doesn't.
Keep passing it on, you know?
I'm happy to share it. I mean, it's easy. Listen, one of my good friends, he's always, you know, he says it as a joke, but I know he doesn't say it as a joke. He does it because obviously it bothers him. He'll keep saying, you know, I'm just a fat, bald, white guy, okay? And I'll just turn around and look at him and say, don't you dare talk about my friend like that. And I make him aware of what he's saying.
That's how he's identifying himself, and that's not good because it's all judgmental, you know?
Right, and
so
I'm like...
Somebody said that to him at one point, and he believed it.
Right, and I said, if your weight bothers you, you can do something about it, but I don't want to hear you talk about my friend like that.
Yeah, and the key, I think, to begin with, because I used to weigh almost 300 pounds at one point, believe it or not. I do have my fat pictures, but I don't weigh that anymore. I had to learn to love myself when I was heavy.
That's a hard thing to do. I was there, too. I wasn't 300, but I was up there. And I remember, you know, I remember just looking at that. You got to just take an honest look at yourself in the mirror and love that fat and then tell it you don't need it anymore for it to leave.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because it wasn't even about food. It was actually about the emotions that were being trapped inside, being pushed down by food. So I started dealing with emotions, and I realized that in order to live in the present tense, to create a beautiful life, we have to get out of the past. And the emotions that we carry in our body are from the past.
Absolutely. I had a close friend, who was very heavy most of her life because she was physically abused by her family members. So for her, the weight was a protection. It was like padding.
That's correct. But, I went through the same
thing. Right, but years after her abuser was dead, I said to her, your abuser is dead. You don't need that fat to protect you anymore. And that's when she lost the weight.
Yeah, I've been raped twice, and I get it when women go through that and they hide it. So I just stuffed it in because I didn't want to look beautiful anymore to be raped or attacked. So I became heavy because of those rapes.
Mm-hmm. Well, she had a similar situation, but then it was like the light bulb went off when she realized her abuser was long dead and she didn't need to hold on to that protective layer anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, you have to choose to live and not die.
And you got to love yourself, warts and all, okay? I can honestly say I don't think there's ever been a time in my life, fat, skinny, ugly, looking good, looking bad, that I didn't love myself.
Yeah.
So the key to this, everyone, is put yourself at the top of your priority list, because then there's more of you to give to other people.
Right.
So we have to start with ourselves. The other one's a lose-lose strategy. Putting other before yourself is a lose-lose strategy. It'll never work.
Absolutely. Make yourself a priority.
It's got to be that way.
Well, and that way you don't burn out. Right. That way you don't burn out. If you're a healer, a masseuse, or any kind of, you know, helping career, you're useless if you're burnt out.
We're also overcoming the agenda of fear and worry and stress and doubt. Mm-hmm. When we put ourselves first, we're valuing ourselves and loving ourselves. And that vibratorial frequency is energy that changes the planet's vibratorial frequency. One positive thought is more powerful than 100 negative ones. So if you remember that that's a fact, and Einstein teaches that life is energy and that's all there is, every part of us is energy. Our thoughts, our emotions, our belief systems are all energy. So don't send out negative crap, you know, just because you're judging yourself. You're connected to me and all animals, therefore you're insulting all of us.
Well put. Well, Monica, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to continuing this series because I enjoy it, and I'm sure my listeners do too. You take care. We'll talk soon, doll.
Thank you for inviting me. This is really a blessing. Thank you. I love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye.
Check her work out at monicawith2ns.com. I have a live link here. And listen, love begins with you. And if you don't love you, why would anybody else? And you loved yourself enough to come here, so you might as well have some fun with it. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. Share what you learn with others. Let them know the show exists and get them to help support it. And I'll see you guys on Thursday.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.